2019, 2020. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well, Eric. Fun fact, if you start at the beginning of the first bass drop and you go all the way through me asking how you're doing, that's how long you need to be washing your hands right now.
I don't think that's enough time. Keep scrubbing.
joined with us, the better half of the 7-Out podcast, Big Joe. Joe, how are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Excited. Of course. We've been talking for months, I think, now about getting you on, and finally made it happen. It has me excited.
Me too. Sorry, I've been sick, but getting through it.
Well, that's a great segue to first topic here. For those of you that follow us on Twitter, you probably saw Adam Bauer, Chowl fanboy, posted a message that that sort of speaking on behalf of all of us, us two plus you can bet on that, and declaring that the Biloxi trip as we the community event is not happening. We're not doing it. It's unfortunate, but I think that we can all agree that it's impractical and irresponsible at the moment. I know that I'm pretty sure I'm not alone if I would say that if there was even one potential case that came out of that trip, I'd feel super guilty because it could have been avoidable. And something that we wanted to make sure was a part of that message, and I'm glad that that Adam included it, is when – as soon as this is sort of over, as soon as travel seems like it's safe again, as soon as it seems like we can pursue this again, that's happening. We fully plan on rescheduling the event at a more appropriate time. And I like the way that Adam put this. We are going to be champions of the restoration of the travel and gambling industries that will undoubtedly suffer through this. Eric, what am I missing here?
I just want to underline, we'll do it when it's responsible to do so. I think that's the key part.
Yep.
And so it's just not going to happen in April. It'll happen later on.
It's crazy how quickly things change. We were just days before, Eric, 4 or 5 days prior to us having that conversation, we had the, hey, we all still plan on going. And then, you know, things change. All sporting events were canceled. Leagues were suspended. Travel's limited. And it became evident that, it was sort of irresponsible to – because casinos are filthy, man. They are filthy. I mean, if we were going to go, like, have a softball tournament, maybe – maybe we find a way to, like, just – no. Casinos are filthy. From everything from the table games on touching chips and imagine chips, like how quickly they're being touched by multiple people within a given day. Slot machines, everything. Absolutely disgusting. So not only are we not going to Biloxi, I have told myself they're closed now in Maryland anyways, but I told myself at the same time we were canceling Biloxi that I can't go to a casino either for a while. So,
oh, well. No. And I ask anybody listening, don't go to a casino if you have one that's open right now.
Word.
All you're doing is spreading or potentially spreading. It's not worth it. And I might add, I'm pretty disappointed in the casino operators that are still open.
So this is something that people wanted us to sort of discuss. Before we get there, though, I want to give our guests a little time on the mic here. Big Joe, you're not necessarily known for your steel immune system. How have you been going through all of this?
I'm on lockdown, man. We spoke to my doctor the other day. He pretty much said, like, you got to consider yourself like one of these 90-year-old people who are at risk. So, unfortunately, I get sick a lot, and in my recent heart thing I got going on, and I'm just going to be working from home for the unforeseeable future here.
Does that mean nervous at all? I mean, I don't mean to get too personal here either, but I think all of us, I think what humanizes this thing is we all know old people, right? We all have old family members, coworkers, whatever. But I think it's the people that are of similar age that have autoimmune situations that are other body conditions that make them just as vulnerable. They kind of humanize. I mean, like are you nervous?
You know, I was at first, and now that I know we're kind of like taking the precautions that we need to take, and you know, just like last week, me and Vinny Chenz went to the casino over here, and after the fact, I was kind of like, maybe we shouldn't have done that, but it was right before it kind of got real crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, my wife, listen, I put my wife, my family through a lot of stuff here recently, and at this point, I have no problem with just kind of keeping myself locked up and waiting it out, you know? So. Yeah.
So when you see online that there are people still to this day actively casino going, grouping together, does that make you feel any kind of way?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I just feel like it's ridiculously irresponsible, right? Like they might be thinking like, yo, nothing's going to happen to us. We're fine. But it's the people that it can ultimately get to. And I just feel like, you know, I don't know how people can not see the big picture here, you know, and it makes me crazy, especially for myself. Like, I just feel like I'm worried about my grandparents and, you know, my parents and everybody else around me. And I have to be worried about myself. And I just feel like anyone who's not taking the precautions that they're telling us we should take is insane. Like, we'll be able to gamble again. We'll be able to go out and do whatever we want.
Word.
We just got to wait it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy the amount of people that you still see in the casinos up until they closed today in Atlantic City, like complaining that they were closing. I just can't believe that people are doing that. It seems nuts.
I received – now, I've been quasi-quarantined, I guess I'll call it now, for over 3 days. And over the weekend, I received – I don't know if it's 5 or 6 different people messaged me that they were in Atlantic City and that I should come meet up with them.
Yeah.
And like it took an awful lot to not be an asshole. Like, right. Like I get it. You're having fun and you're trying to include me in it, but I don't know where this is going to end up and I don't want to play a role in making it worse for anybody.
Yeah.
And like Tim said, with the Biloxi trip, like to know that you could contribute to someone, you know, getting sick and someone dying. I mean, it's not worth the risk. It's just not.
There is. So, I mean, I think everybody is sacrificing something in this, right? Some people are unfortunately sacrificing once in a lifetime situation. Like, I'm sure I feel bad for the people that had late March weddings, you know, like people who, like, you know, you could reschedule that stuff, of course. And, you know, I know people that are just falling through with their wedding. They're getting married, and that's going to be it. They'll have the pageantry of it at a later date. Everybody's giving up stuff. Everybody's sacrificing in a certain way. I was going to visit my grandfather in April, who has other situations that might make me think that I only have a few more opportunities to spend time with him. And I'm like, I want to go. I want to follow through this trip because I want to take advantage of opportunities to see him, but I have to cancel, right? Like, I can't do this because I don't want, like, it's irresponsible for me to possibly expose him. Idris Elba, I'm not sure if anybody saw his video. He just posted today that he's infected. No symptoms, showing no symptoms. He got tested because he found out that someone he had recently been around tested positive, so he got tested, also positive. So
just to throw something out there that's shitty that I never would have thought of. Like, a friend of a friend's uncle or somebody passed away 2 days ago.
Oh.
They can't even have a wake. Like, funeral homes out here won't even do it. You know, you don't think of those things. And then you hear it, and it's like, shit. It's terrible. Like, the family can't even grieve. Well, you know. Sorry for being such a downer.
No, it's
okay. To be fair, the whole thing's kind of a downer. There's... Joe, let's go from COVID to Joe as a gambler. Is this an uptick or a downtick, Joe? Are we going in a better direction?
All right. You win occasionally when you gamble, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you've never won as a Jets fan.
Yeah, occasionally. I mean, look, I don't even really – this is going to sound crazy, but I almost don't even care if I win anymore because the rush I get from gambling is awesome. So if I can come home – break even, even down, you know, whatever it is. Typically, as long as I didn't like lose my shirt and get out of control, I still loved every freaking second of it. And I mean, I think it's, I've been like that my whole life. Like, you know, my family's all gamblers. So just, I think they instilled the action part of it with me. And the cost never really seemed to bother me. And I don't lose a lot of money. I mean, I don't have like a bankroll like some people do these days. But just any little scratch I can get, I fucking love it.
So I feel you. Before we hit record, you started talking about how you were introduced to this community, how it kind of surprised you that it existed in the way that it does, and how you didn't. It sort of sounded like you were getting onto a sentiment of sort of almost seeing yourself in another community. Can you revisit that idea revisit that idea.
So yeah, I really never listened to the gambling podcast. I really didn't listen to any podcasts at all, to be honest with you. Vinny Chenz and a few of our other buddies, Stevie Mandime and Danny Osh, they listened to you guys, Vegas Confessions, You Can Bet on That, Do for a Win, and they're always talking about it. And I kind of always just was like, yeah, I really don't care. Like, it's not for me. And I think partly that was because I didn't listen to podcasts in general. And I also just didn't think that I would really enjoy, I guess, you know, the whole listening to people talk about gambling. I don't know why I didn't think I would. I just didn't. I finally took their advice and did, and realized, like, wow, this is awesome. Like, the ability to have people talking about things that I love and, you know, would love to be doing every day, but I can't, just it like satisfied that like, you know, that itch for me. And you know, Vin kept talking about, hey, we should get into it with each other. Let's do one. You know, he's got a lot of content. I have enough, you know, for like the everyday kind of person. And I love doing this production stuff. And next thing you know, we just got into it. And now it's awesome. Like, you know, having everybody who's all doing the similar kind of thing and the stories and sharing information. Twitter makes it awesome, too, for how much stuff is shared on there. And it's just it's been a real fun trip, man. Like, I'm really enjoying it way more than I ever imagined. And I keep turning people onto it too, just because, you know, a lot of people felt the same way I did. Like, who cares? Like, what, you know, I don't really want to listen to that. And next thing you know, same reaction, like loving it, listening to every episode. And we're really enjoying it.
So, good. I've stated that it quickly became one of my, it quickly became a podcast that I listen to as soon as I can after it releases. You guys are doing a great job over there.
Appreciate it. Thanks, dude.
So bring us back to, do you remember when you were first exposed to gambling? Maybe not when you were gambling, but like when you first saw it as a child or a teenager, whatever it may be. I think you said it goes back to your childhood. When do you remember first seeing gambling?
We used to play Pokino at like all holiday functions when I was like really little kid. And we used to go to the horse track for Thanksgiving. Like, that's just, I don't know how that started or what that was, but I remember my mom still has like papers that I wrote and things I created for school when I was in like third grade about spending Thanksgiving at the horse track. Like, you know, no kid like even knew what the hell I was talking about. I don't even think I knew what I was talking about, but you know, my dad would say pick a number, we'd start betting, and then, you know, probably once I was, I don't know, around 10 or so, like I really started getting what we were doing, and we started playing hold'em at family things. Like, it just was this big thing. It pretty much shaped me into what I am today. Like, honestly, my grandpa used to tell us stories all the time about getting arrested for throwing dice in the street when he was like 9 years old. And it just kind of, all that stuff kind of just stuck with me. And, you know, we grew up going on vacations and gambling when we were at islands and doing all this different stuff. And that's where I am today, a piece of shit with no money to gamble. And a family that doesn't really allow me to gamble out much. But it's when I do get to do it, it's the best thing in the world.
So then, okay, so it sounds like your family, your significant other, aren't gambling people.
So my wife used to be. We both worked at a restaurant when we were like early 20s. I was a bartender, she was a waitress, and we literally would work all weekend and just drive straight to Atlantic City and blow it all. Like, just cash every weekend. That's just what we did. We really both enjoyed it at the time, but then once, you know, we got a little older and got married and had a house to pay for and kids, losing, we still go together. Losing for her isn't as fun as it used to be. So, you know, it's, I still enjoy going with her. We have a really good time. It's just, it's not, we're not going and blowing money like we used to and gambling till, you know, 8 a.m. and then driving home. But, you know, listen, like we still get to enjoy it together. And, you know, it, like I said, if I had, it's not even so much the funds, it's more the time, which is what, yeah, where I really find the hardest thing to get, you know. My kids are young. One's 4 and one is 8. And it's just, you know, we got a lot going on and trying to get away. Like, you know, my friends go pretty often. You know, Vinny Chenz is there all the time. I typically can only get there with them once or twice a year, if that. And it's tough. It's tough to find those free days. But, you know, betting on sports keeps me in it. And, you know, a lot of the stuff we do when we all hang out late at night is gambling related, and I get my fix there. But makes me really look forward to getting to the casino. The slot parlors by us are pretty shitty, and they let you, like, if you're really feeling like gambling, we'll go there late at night. It's only 30 minutes away, and I'll get to play some bubble craps or something, but doesn't really satisfy that itch like, you know, Atlantic City or Pennsylvania does for me.
What do you play? What do you enjoy playing? If you were, I mean, you can answer that however you'd like, whether you're by yourself or in a group. Like, what's your ideal gambling scenario?
Craps is always my favorite. Doesn't matter if I'm with anybody or by myself.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's if I could just pick one game, like if I had a real small window, that's all I'd play.
How do you play?
What's that?
How do you play? What's your approach?
I'll usually do min bet on the pass line, and then I'll place a bunch of numbers, like 6, 8, 9, and 5 is pretty much it. And then I'll all the hard ways. And if we're playing bubble craps, Finn hates this, but I will bet like the 2 and the 12 a bunch. And but otherwise, that's it. Just pass line. You know, and again, like, I'm not betting big money, but I will press my bets and parlay them as much as I can and try to get some decent scores going. But I just love being at the table, man. Like, you know, especially, I don't care if it's somebody I know or not, just the like energy at a table to me, and throwing the dice, and just the terminology, everybody yelling things. It's just awesome. There's nothing like it.
It's true.
I play a lot of slots too, but really only because that's all we have out here. And if I go with my wife, she'll play craps too, but she's more of a slots person.
Are you out by Jake's?
Yeah, so we're about 25 minutes from Jake's.
Yeah, okay.
And like that, so both Jake's 58 and Resorts World in Queens is about the same distance. It's just a matter of kind of which way we want to go and what day of the week it is.
if you want to deal with gang activity or not.
Yeah. You know, recently we stopped going to Resorts World for a few years because there was a few times where it was nuts. Like, they had a club in there, and the club got out, and there was people shooting each other in the parking lot. Like, it got real hectic for a while. But recently it's been a lot better. But it's still, even though it's about the same distance, it's just, it takes a little longer to get into. And I don't know. Jake's is real convenient. You just kind of pull right up and walk in. But it's smaller.
They had a fight in the food court,
yeah,
at Resorts World, where, like, people were slinging chairs from across the room. Like, it was an all-out brawl. And if memory serves, it was just, like, somebody walked in with the wrong color bandana on their, I don't know.
I think it had something to do with crab legs, to be honest with you.
I will defer to your knowledge on this, but it was a thing. It was a mayhem.
Joe's like, I know it's crab legs. That motherfucker took my crab leg. Yeah, right. He had it coming.
Just the other day, some old guy got robbed. Like, just sitting at a machine. I mean, you know, it's tough, man. It's a really nice place and it's huge, but it's just, it has that reputation. But it seems like it's getting a little better, but we'll see. Unfortunately, that's all we have. So
one thing I love about 7OUT is it's so poker heavy. And you clearly, like, just like, you're just like, whatever, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, it's, yeah. So the difference between you and Vinny when it comes to gambling is so almost amusing, in that it still works, right? Like, you ask the right questions, Because you don't seem disinterested, which I think is what is important. Like you ask the right questions of him. You still make fun of him for the things that he does wrong, right? Like, you don't even know what you're making fun of, and you still find a way to like make fun of it, which I appreciate. But how is that dynamic between you and him? I mean, I've been listening from the beginning, so I hear what you are publishing. But if you went behind the scenes and we heard the uncut versions, was that a difficult curve to get through on how different you guys are as gamblers trying to do a gambling show?
Yeah, in the beginning, our uncut stuff would be ridiculous. It was hard for us in the beginning to kind of find that rhythm of, you know, I also didn't want to like talk too much or ask the wrong question, and then, you know, but Vin would say, I want you to ask questions, because, you know, majority of people might not know what he's talking about when it comes to poker or any of this stuff. So it definitely took us a while to find that kind of groove, I guess. And, you know, once I realized, like, or once I embraced the whole aspect of like asking these questions to help, you know, pull the story out or to help him explain a little bit more, so we don't just gloss over something, like, I feel like we started to really kind of improve. So like our uncut stuff now is nothing compared to what it was. You know, and Vin too, like, he's just in a whole nother level with gambling than I am. So, you know, his bankroll's bigger, and he's been in it much harder and deeper than I have for a long time. And so I think, you know, being able to kind of level set him sometimes, or, you know, just ask him a question or make him explain things more, just kind of helps us, you know, as we go. And it's getting easier and easier and easier. We don't have to, like, it used to take several hours to put together an hour, and now we're just banging stuff out real quick. So, and it's more fun now too, because it's not as like jammed together. Like, it's just happening natural, you know, because I guess we both kind of found our way in it. So
I like that.
It's fun, man. It's way more fun than I ever thought.
Have you found that you are – how has your perception on gambling changed since doing the show?
It hasn't really changed that much. I mean, if anything, it makes me want to do it more. Right, like, you know, I realize how little I get to do what I'd like gambling wise, but I think, you know, like I said, it's been with me forever, so I kind of haven't changed in that sense. Like, I still have that desire to gamble, and I still get that same rush from gambling, and I think doing this just makes it more right. Like, I just want more, and I'm trying to find little ways to squeeze it in here and there, and more content, and, you know, listening to more shows, looking on Twitter for more stuff. If anything, it's just made me like a super fan, right? Like, and it's a good thing. I feel like I'm getting a lot more out of the whole community these days than I ever did before. You know, I didn't even know about the community, and now it's everywhere, and I'm finding every little thing I can. So I really just love being super tuned into the gambling world. It's awesome.
Yeah. What are you – so, like, is there any aspect of gambling, casinoing, whatever you want to call it, that you have tried or had gotten more interest in because you've joined this community? Like, I didn't really play video poker before I got introduced to this community, and now it's one of my favorite things to do.
So I'm dying to play real video poker. The stuff we have at the slot parlors out here is not real video poker. And so I've been really wanting to do that. I've been researching that a little bit, and – you know, just trying to make sure when I do play, I take advantage of my situation. And honestly, poker is something that I've been really looking to get into also. And again, the hardest part for me to find is the time to do it. Like, I just have to be real picky and choosy about trying to get out there and get into something. And I started playing a little online and been having a little success with that. But poker is the one thing that I wish I could do more of. Video poker and live poker. But otherwise, everything else is the same. Like, I'm still making the same bets I would in craps. You know, I occasionally play blackjack, roulette. I'll waste money on and throw it away sometimes. But nothing else has really changed. Just the desire for more across the board. I mean, that's really it.
What do you like about the casino lifestyle?
I like that it's just, you know, everything's always going, right? It doesn't matter what time of the day it is, what time of the morning it is. People are out. People are drinking. Drinking was one of my favorite things that I would associate with Atlantic City and gambling in general. I can't do that right now, so that's kind of killing me. But, you know, just that whole whatever you want, whenever you want, it's here. Like, go get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's one of the major things that I think I look to. Even though when we do go now, I'm struggling to stay up late. Like, I just can't. I know you guys talked about it a couple episodes ago. But the last time me and the guys went to Atlantic City, you know, we just kept talking about how we're going to gamble through the morning. And I think we were all in bed at like 1 o'clock. It's just one of those things. Like, I lost my ability to do that. I either have to be completely shit-faced and going hard, or I can't do it. That's it.
Joe, you mentioned staying up all night to play Catan. I was someone on Twitter did ask me to ask you why you're so horrible at Catan.
That's, first off, I think that was Steve. And Steve is the worst Catan player I've ever seen in my life. Okay, but there's definitely a I definitely have a problem where I know what I should be doing. Like, I know the right things to do, and I, for some reason, don't do them. Like, I don't know what it is.
Hey, can we give a brief shout out to Stevie Mandime?
Yeah.
Since we're talking about him, like, friend of the show, Stevie Mandime, friend of you're like close with him. Well,
I grew up with Steve. I mean, right. We've been friends since we were little kids.
So it was really funny to me because I knew Steve long, I don't know how long, but long before your show came out. And when you talked about Stevie Mandime, you know, it's just this guy, whatever. But when it turns out that it's somebody that you actually know and too offended, like, it's really quite funny.
Yeah, yeah. You guys, did we ever say why we call him Mandime? I don't think so, right?
I don't know.
I mean, Vinny says it's because he's the good-looking one in the group, but I assume there's a better story behind it.
It's because of his nipples. We used to say that his nipples were the size of a dime, and it turned into Stevie Mandime.
Oh my goodness! So here's a question I have. So I've joked that Catan, however, I don't know how you're supposed to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I actually don't know how you say it either, but.
Like, I've always joked that it's like the gateway drug to tabletop, right? Because, like, so many people, that's what a lot of people start playing. That's what they're exposed, like, and then a lot of, you know, a lot of me and my friends got into much more, you know, complex, crafty, clever games, whatever. Is that like, sort of the extent of which your tabletop is, or do you guys actually get deep into some tabletop games?
So, the intent, when Vin first brought Catan around, the intent was that we'd start with this game and move into other games. And he brought a lot of other games around, too, and we kind of just, like, we went through a stage where we had, you know, about eight guys that would be willing to play at any given time, and it slowly dwindled down to just three of us, and for some reason, we just don't want to quit it. You know what it is? It's one of those games where we can play, if we have 2-3 hours, like on a random night, we can play 4 or 5 games and be satisfied. You know, if, like, we were going to play Risk, we were going to play Pandemic, and some, which I probably shouldn't even say right now, but probably a bunch of other games. You know, I don't know if it was because we didn't want to spend the time learning something new, if it was because we get to hold dice and throw them, and I don't know. We ended up – we literally are on, like, our third season of Catan now where we just – we first to 25 games wins, and you buy the guy dinner. And that's just what we've been doing for a few years now. I don't know what it is. We can't quit it. I wish we could. We just can't. I went as far as making – I bought 3D printed pieces, hand-painted them, like, in my basement, like a real loser. And we play with that now. It's embarrassing. My wife would come down in the basement and be like, you're still painting those pieces? Like, it's like the piece of like trees, a forest. It's like 100 little trees, and I hand painted like every little fucking detail of it, like an idiot. Wow. And that's it. So now I'm a loser for that.
Well, if you guys can ever get 5 or more people back into a group to play a game, there's a game called Resistance, which is a deception game that I would just love to hear the stories of what comes out of that game, out of you and the and Vinny and Steve and the rest of them. Let alone actually be at the table and play with you guys.
You need five. Is it the kind of game that you could learn pretty quickly? Like,
if someone's played, so it's, I mean, I'm a little biased because I can, like, I've played so often that when I introduce it to someone, I can teach them pretty quickly. But I think it is.
All right. What was it? Resistance? I'm going to have to look it up.
Called Resistance. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, so Steve, fuck Steve for saying that. I suck at that game.
By the way, I think it was Vin. Now I'm looking back, it was Vinny that said it. So Steve. Oh, Steve's off the hook. Vinny's the one who wants to know why there's a horrible Catan.
You outed Steve in his nipples.
I know. Sorry, Steve. It was gonna come out at some point. So yeah. Might as well, you know. But fuck you, Vin. Vin thinks he's the best. He's not the best. He wins a lot, and he deserves some credit, but he ain't the best.
Yeah, well, very well. Prop swap. Eric, let's talk about this. This is taking a hard right out of this conversation into another one. But prop swap is in an interesting situation where, prop swap, for those who don't know, is a marketplace in which people can sell futures tickets. Joe, have you heard of prop swap? Are you familiar with it?
No, I never heard it before.
So if I took, I don't know, let's say, whatever, I got really great team, or I got team that's on its way at, 50-1, and it looks like they're making a huge run for it. I can then go on PropSwap and sell that ticket for a price that would make it to where the buyer is getting value on it because they couldn't find that price anywhere if they tried, and I'm hedging I'm getting a profit out of it early. So I'm getting out of my bet early and giving it to someone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So now, right, anybody – March Madness is the glaring example. Anybody who had a futures ticket that then sold it on PropSwap, or even on the other side is actually where you're stuck, is if you bought one on PropSwap, if you bought a team a futures bet for any particular team – you're kind of stuck with the ticket, right? Like, and PropSwap was in this huge situation with how to like mitigate this, and they can't obligate anybody to quote unquote give reverse the transactions and such. So essentially, I sell my ticket to Eric. Eric is now holding the 75-1. Let's say on Texas Tech. I got it. It's 75-1. I bet a dime on it, so it's worth $75,000 if they win. I sell to Eric for $10,000. Now he has that margin to play with from 10 to 75. I just profited $9,000 on it, but he just paid $10,000 for a ticket that is not going to cash. I already have my profit. Eric now is stuck with hoping that I'm willing to reverse the transaction. Or the most he can really do without that is just kind of go refund the ticket and get the $1,000 that it's worth. Eric, did I explain that well enough? And it took me a few tries to actually come up.
I think yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, you got there.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. People have asked, like, what would you do? What? I don't know what I would do. I would like to think it's easy as a onlooker to say that I would try to quote unquote do the right thing. And acknowledge that it's an unfair situation and reverse it all. But I don't know if I'm in that situation and I'm sitting with the $9,000 profit, is that part of the risk of, I mean, that's part of the risk of making the bet altogether, sure. Right? Yeah. Especially with, I mean, it's not like they were going into the championship, right? It's not like it was, you know, there's no saying. Now it's presumed there was plenty of teams they could assume was going to go into the tournament and have a shot, but there's no guarantee that you're even investing into a team that's even going to make the big dance. Selection Sunday hadn't happened yet. Eric, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to give you a bullshit answer.
All right.
So, in general, in a general sense, I would say it's part of the risk. I kind of feel like, given everything that's happening and will continue to unfold, I would treat this as a separate circumstance. I have no way to prove it. And you know what? The money's not in my hand. So to say I would give it back, I don't know. I think I would give it back. I think given what we're dealing with right now, and there's going to be an economic downturn to follow, I think the person that I took the 9,000 from, that now might not be the time to stick to your guns and say a deal's a deal. So I'm gonna go with, I think I would give it back today. But if this was like, I don't know, the Astros in 17, and then, you know, they decided they were going to change something due to cheating. But, well, those are the breaks. That's not my problem.
Right.
Right. So I think this is a special set of circumstances where I would give it back. PropSwap announced today that everybody got their money back.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, all customers repaid. The good karma results were amazing. We've been so impressed with the outpouring of generosity from our PropSwap community. Reminder, PropSwap is a peer-to-peer marketplace, and the reimbursement to either party after a completed sale is highly uncommon. Nonetheless, we have a major announcement to make. All customers who purchased a college basketball ticket on PropSwap during the 1920 season will be fully reimbursed on their purchase price.
Wow. Very good.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, I agree. I lean, like if I'm 51%, that's how it breaks, and 49, I'd get, but I'm like I said, if I was actually in the situation, yeah, for this circumstance, I think it, you know, it swings almost the entire other direction, right? To your point, any other circumstance, hey, that's how this goes, right? That's the risk of sports betting, mm-hmm. For whatever it may be. Joe?
If I had that money in my hand, I think it would be a really difficult decision for me, to be honest with you. Like, I agree. I'd love to think that that's what I would do. I just don't know if I would. Like, it all depends how much money it was, I guess, would come down to for me.
Because I think where if someone told me I'm not giving it up, I think where I wouldn't have a problem with that is – it is a special circumstance. You would hope that, given everything that's going on, that people would be able to see that. But, yeah, you're making the transaction not on whether or not that bet gets seen through, right?
And to be honest with you, too, I would end up on the wrong side of that every time.
So. You'd be the buyer in that situation? It. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how my life would go.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I got a bridge I'd like to talk to you about.
I think, it would be a tough situation for sure. What I can say is, I'm sure I would eventually get there. I can guarantee you it would not be immediately. It would take, like you said, money in hand. It would take me a little while, I think, to get me, like, all right, this. Different situation, weird circumstance everybody's in.
And listen, like this sets a precedent going forwards, right? Because now this is always going to be something that they have to have some sort of plan in place for, or some sort of policy. So it sucks for whoever it is this year, and it's awesome that they went back and gave everyone their money back. But at least now, you know, hopefully it'd be planned for. It's not something you'd have to – any decision you make, you'd know what you're getting yourself into at that point.
Would it make sense if the money was escrowed by PropSwap and then it didn't change hands until the bet was graded?
I think
that's a good idea. Yeah, it's a really good idea. I got a question for you, Eric.
Yeah.
Regarding that, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. So I know, you know, in New York, where I am, Lower New York, we still don't have legal sports betting, and my only action I can get is if I'm in Jersey or Pennsylvania. So I see online a lot of times I'll see, like, guys post screenshots of their sports betting apps where – it will say, like, you know, that you can cash it in early. Is that something that, like, everyone now offers? Or I've never seen it.
Not everyone, but a lot of them do, yeah.
Is that something that you take advantage of, or you ever have? Or not?
I have. I've taken advantage of it when it seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that the bet was going to lose, and I was able to salvage a small percentage of it to sell it off.
Okay.
Usually the offer isn't, you know, you ever watch the show Deal or No Deal?
Yeah.
And you're like, that offer is really not so good. I'm not sure I'd I'd want to do that. That's usually what you get when your team is up. You know, you're up by two touchdowns and they're, you know, giving you $1,100 on your $1,000 bet.
Right.
And you're like, well, no, I'll roll the dice with this. You know, I've now I've got two scores and the ball and you're giving me $1.15.
Right.
But yeah, towards the end, I've definitely probably 5-6 times where I had a losing, like a definite assumed losing wager, and I was able to get, you know, maybe 10 cents on the dollar back.
Right. And that's what, like a place by place basis on who offers it? Or is that more
Yeah. It's not a law. It's just whether or not they have that capacity in their software.
I like that.
Carl, who provide, I don't know if you saw Eric, Carl still provided a better rundown, even though he is off social media for the time being. Still texted me a better rundown for me to post on last week's show. I tweeted that out. I thought it was great that he's still taking that responsibility seriously.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Carl. Yeah.
Carl recently went up to Ocean, sent me an email with some random musings from the last week. Some of the things that so they're at AC, they're at Ocean. Two out of his three kids refused to get on the descalator. No, that's not funny. Isn't that funny?
Okay. I mean, listen, I applaud Carl's sense of humor. Okay, good. Continue.
Oh man. All right, here we go. On the gambling. Let's just get to gambling. He says, apparently I had Tim Lawson's player's card because the video poker sucked. Man. Eric is not amused. I've never seen the Asian gaming area so slow. I don't think I saw a non-Asian player in the pit. He, of course, suspects the coronavirus being the there. I've seen a lot of bad blackjack play over the years, but saw something new. Really, really bad player in the last spot. She's older, a little crazy, and a lot of drunk. Normally, I would have left the table, but I'm winning and enjoy the conversation when she's not interrupting. She's one of those people and does something unorthodox, the results in a win two hands later, and tries to lay claim. Meanwhile, all the losses are clearly not her fault. You know the type. What takes the cake are the following three hands actions she took. Split 10s on a dealer 7, split 7s on a dealer 8, and stayed on a 5. Just like a total of 5. I ended up coloring up 5 times my buy-in, and she begged for a tip, insinuating that she was a part of my success. After thinking about it for 5 seconds, I open my wallet and pull out a basic strategy card and hand it to her and say, "Learn it up. That's my tip."
That's funny.
That is funny. Eric, have you ever had a player ask you for a tip?
At a craps table, not at a blackjack table. At a craps table a couple of times.
Is that right?
I had, I could think of a number of occasions where the shooter on a good roll in a lower end property absolutely asked for a tip. Yeah.
Wow.
I had one, so Bally's Atlantic City. There was one guy who, he was on a heater. I mean, he held the dice for quite a while, and he was hitting hard ways for me, and I was being very generous with the dealers. And at one point, he said to me, "You know, you're tipping them. I'm the one throwing the dice."
That's insane.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so I made it 3-way action instead of 2-way action. You want your tip? Hit it again.
Oh, hey, I like that.
Yeah. It's all right. Listen, you don't ask, you don't get. I was okay with him asking. Now, give me a fucking hard 8 if you want your money.
Joe, do you tip players at the craps table?
I never have. But, I mean, I've also never been part of, like, a real monster role before. But, I mean, I'll tip the hell out of the dealers, but I've never tipped a player before.
Yeah. I've been tipped a couple times. I think I've tipped a couple – like straight up tip, like actually like me giving a shooter money a few times. There's been a couple times where I'll make dealer bet or make shooter bets, even if they're they're not solicited. I'll if things are going well, might make a hard way bet for the shooter. But having someone at a blackjack table insinuate that she was part of the success,
especially someone who played like that, right? Like, what's she thinking? Who stays on a five?
By the way, I need to carry a basic strategy card on me just for that situation if it ever occurs. Stays on a five. A total of five.
It's crazy.
Can't improve my hand. Not going to happen. This is a lose-less situation.
My dad plays like that. I literally have to leave him at the table. I can't stay there. It's horrible.
A little more from Carl. Video poker, how do you play? I find my OCD gets involved here and that I use both hands for very specific tasks. My right hand operates the draw button and my left hand selects the cards. Also, I never use the buttons for holding. I always touch each card on the screen. I don't trust myself to hit the right button each time. Anyone else do this? Joe, you play video poker? You said you play video poker, right?
I've been trying to play it more.
Right.
The variations we have out here are no good, but I'd say I'm probably a button guy too, man.
Yeah, I play with the buttons. Eric, how do you play video poker, Eric?
I'm a button guy unless you're holding five, then I'm swiping across the screen.
Yes, agreed. I do the same.
And
I. The first thing I do when I sit down, the first thing I do is up the speed to three. And then, right hand. I guess I use both hands for the button for the holds as well. But I always, I make my hold, and then I, like, take a second to make sure I've hit the right, and then I hit the draw.
You got to see Vinny Chen's play video poker, man. Does he
headbutt one of the buttons?
I've never seen someone play so fast in my life. Like, crazy speed. I feel like he's not even seeing what's on the screen, but he is. He said he started doing this when he was younger and he was playing with his mom, like some casino upstate. I don't see the enjoyment in it. It's just like this rapid play. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. His hands are moving like a fucking, like doing karate or something. It's crazy.
He had this 100 hands.
Yeah, he's like, it's insane.
There was a time where I would get into a really fast mode, but I think I brought it up on the show where I ended up holding, I held something and missed four to a royal. I can't remember. Eric, I talked about this, didn't I, at one point where like I held something and then as I'm hitting draw I realized there was four to the royal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the screen. Yeah, yeah. And that was the end of the lightning video poker play.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. That was my royal. Give it up.
Just gotta wait another 40,000 hands, Tim. That's all.
That's right. Just another 40,000. Carl wants you to know, Eric, that that he left with all of his money and a little of theirs.
I mean, that makes it better, but I wouldn't give them the opportunity in the first place.
Sure. Yeah. Understood.
I hope when all of the properties close tonight, Ocean doesn't reopen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance.
There's a real chance.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if this goes, I don't know, 10 weeks. Which properties in AC survive?
Borgata.
Borgata, Tropicana, Caesars, Harrah's. Hard Rock. I think the ones you have to worry about are Bally's, Golden Nugget, Ocean, and maybe Resorts. Maybe Resorts. Their cost structure is such that I think they could stick it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if this is a shutdown for 10 weeks, that whole Caesars merger is probably up in the air.
Yeah,
their stock price is taken or hurting.
Okay.
And by the way, Caesars has announced that they're staying open in Vegas when everybody else is closing. Fuck them too.
Yeah.
In Vegas, they haven't ordered a close. These guys are doing it on their own.
No. Oh, it's worse than that. So they've ordered that at tables there can be no more than three players at a table.
Yes.
Yeah, and that every other slot machine needs to be turned off.
Right.
Like, that's going to do a goddamn fucking thing.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. They'll close them soon enough. They have to.
I do want to say, though, I find it irresponsible that I have not seen Sherry's Ranch out in Pahrump say anything about shutting down during this. I think it's irresponsible. Eric's not having it today. My goodness.
I have to say, I'm enjoying the silence with these.
All right. Big thanks to everybody who has been. I got a few shirt orders. By the time you hear this, they'll be shipped. But I apologize for some of you. I've been limiting my errands, right? So I think everybody can understand that. I'm not running out every day to run errands. So by the time you hear this, they will be in the mail. But I appreciate everybody's patience on that. I'm out of extra large Better Life shirts, and that wasn't reflected in the store. I'm not quite sure where the discrepancy was. So if you ordered one of those, I've emailed you on the restock and gave you some options. But thebetterlife.us/merch is where you can cop some shirts. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off your purchase. The book club, Eric asked about at the top of the show. Apparently the books that I ordered on Amazon were not Prime. We're not Prime eligible. So it's been taking them a little bit longer to get to my place for me to ship them out. So I appreciate everybody's patience there. But they should be delivered this week, and I'll turn them around as soon as they come in for everybody who is in the Better Life Book Club that is on Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife. Support the show. Thank you for everybody who does that. And whether you are a Patreon supporter, or you buy shirts, or you leave us reviews, or whatever, however it is you support the show, it's all gravy. I want your thoughts on something, Joe.
Okay.
You guys get some pretty solid reviews. People like your show. You enjoy reading them, and I always enjoy. I'm glad that you guys are getting it. We have a little bit of a We have a pest problem in our review section. And I don't know if you remember, Joe, a few episodes ago we talked about, I guess it was probably close to the beginning of the year, we talked about how we got a few one-star reviews that clearly weren't actually, like, reviewing the show. They were just taking shots at someone they didn't like.
Yeah, I remember.
One of those motherfuckers deleted it and reposted their one-star review.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Wait, there's more to it. So when you said that to me, I looked it up. So last time, remember I talked about one guy who reviewed me on four different shows and gave me one star on four different shows?
Yeah, yes. That's insane.
So he did the same thing, except now he gave us five stars. It says, solid podcast, give it a try. And on the same exact day, the repost, one star with the exact same language from before, but the title is pretty good.
How is it even possible?
Look, I don't know who has the time to do all this. That's interesting. I had not noticed that other part.
Yeah, same date. And you know what? Let's just address his concerns. So I guess when we get down to it, he says, Eric is not an expert in the gaming industry. He has never been employed by a casino in any capacity, and it's just a guy who likes to gamble when casinos are offering multipliers. This would be better as a monologue with interesting guests and actual gaming expert. Okay, so you're right. I've never been employed by a casino. However, I can give you the references of casino employees who do call me and ask me my opinion on things that they're thinking about doing. Not only am I not an expert in the gaming industry, you're right. Tim is actually a much better host and a much better interviewer than I am. So how about we just agree that you don't like me and we can move on?
Yeah, and it sounds like, Eric, this person's finally catching up on old episodes of The Better Life. So I can't wait for a few weeks before they hear this one to realize, oh, look, it came back around. They talked about my deleting and reposting. Anyways, thank you to everybody who does post wonderful things. Mike1C makes me strive to do better. Better spelled the appropriate way, of course, BETTOR. What happens when you combine the Emmy award-winning styling of Tim with the keen analysis of the other guy? We all do better, and the pleasure is all Eric's.
Word.
Thanks to, thanks to both Tim. There we go. I got a laughing
word.
Thanks to both Tim and Eric. Great podcast. Mike Wensley, thank you so much for the kind words. Do appreciate everybody who has been, everybody who came through. What I liked, Eric, is I'm sure you get the same thing. I asked for people to pitch some topics and ideas because I wasn't quite sure where tonight was going to go. A lot of people preceded or followed their topic with love the podcast. Keep it up. Great job. So thank you, everybody, for those kind words.
Well, thank you. Hey, can I ask Joe a couple of questions before we wrap this up?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Joe. I'm going to start this with I love you, man.
Oh, boy.
The man soup.
Yeah. Listen, everybody needs a little man soup.
No, we don't. We don't need the man soup in our lives. We don't need to see pictures of the man soup in your life.
Have you experienced man soup?
No, I have not. And you know, there's just certain things that no.
I'll tell you, I never thought I would be into some man soup, but when you got the recipe right, it's amazing.
I just threw up in my mouth right now.
It's one of those things, man. It's just, you know, we said one thing, and next thing you know, it's just making man soup every chance we get.
So I will say, I appreciate the man soup references because it makes me laugh. Like the calling it man soup makes me chuckle.
It was funny until they sent pictures. Then it's funny.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen pictures. Maybe that's why it's still funny to me.
No, they post pictures of them in the coos, as you call it.
The coos.
You know what, too, we
said it a couple times, and people started like sending pictures of themselves like to our email and shit of them making man soup, and it just we were quickly like, wow, this is amazing, and we had to run with it. What are you gonna do? We got to take it and go. I will say, because you know I don't get to go as often. I'm not getting as much man soup as the rest of these dudes, but it is a thing.
Vinny sounds like he's upset if there's no man soup.
He is. It is one of those things. It's like it has to happen for him every trip, and if it doesn't, it's just the trip wasn't a whole.
What is the soup of the day? It is a man soup.
I'll tell you who hates him the most is my wife. Like hates it.
I would hate if I was her. She hates the references, or she's been in the man soup. Like, no, fuck this.
She hates the references. Like I sent her a picture once, and she like wouldn't talk to me. There's nothing to do with it.
There's never any women in the man soup.
That's what makes it a man soup.
That's fair.
That's what makes it disgusting.
I can see your wife. For some reason, I can even see your wife being like, you know what? Next time, send me pictures of you in the hot tub with three other women. Okay, that's more appropriate.
She'd probably prefer that more. You know, we've been together a long time, and she knows what it is. Man soup. That's it.
Eric, what else do you have for Joe?
I had a whole list. I'm just picturing now.
And you know, me and Danny Ocean are two pretty big guys. So when wearing that, it's like a real hearty man suit.
Listen, I'm in the club with you. All right. Like I'm a fat, hairy guy. I don't, yuck.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I didn't think I was going to be into it.
And you do it at Ocean, which makes it even more disgusting.
Anywhere. I mean, Ocean just happens to be recently the place, but it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I got it. It is what it is, right? I got to embrace it, and I have. Man, soup.
All right. I love you, brother. I'm out.
Oh my God!
Oh man! All right, gentlemen, I do appreciate your time. I'm sure I'm missing a. But if no one's paying attention, there's no March Madness pool.
Yeah.
Don't DM me about the March Madness pool.
Wait a minute. I'm pretty sure I didn't have one losing pick.
You see what these guys are doing now? It's like simulating video games.
Yeah.
A joke.
Yeah.
I can see being bored at home and that being fun, but not entertaining enough for me to be involved.
No, I know.
Yeah. Joe, we do appreciate you making the time finally and joining us here on The Better Life.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This was awesome. It really was. Appreciate it.
Was it? Okay, good. I'm afraid you're gonna call Vinny, be like, what a waste of fucking time.
That's how I feel every time we make an episode. So this was fun. Thank you.
Very good. Too.
Yeah. Eric, as always, it was a pleasure.
Come on, Tim. Come on. Pleasure was mine.
Yeah, but I mean, but if I don't set you up, how do we know that the pleasure was yours?
They know.
Everybody knows.
Come on.
All right.
What are you new here?
Yeah. Everybody stay safe out there. Stay healthy. Get out of the house. Walk around a little bit, but do not go to the casino and wash your hands. I'm Timothy Lawson on behalf of Big Joe and Eric Rosenthal. Good night. Good luck.